You're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org, and we're on your mobile using the TuneIn app. It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my ever-fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Marianne. I got my apron on.
You do have your apron on, and it's a really nice one. You're all color coordinated.
Yeah, I got my apron on over a sweater because I was driving with wet hair and the window open because that's what I needed today.
So you're alert. That's good. That's good.
And a little fluffy.
That is the quintessential blow dry.
Yeah.
So, what have you been cooking? I see you. I mean, you're holding a piece of paper that I'm very uneasy about that because that indicates a level of preparedness.
Because I've been cooking out of, do you know that guy whose name looks like you just stick your hand in a bag of Scrabble tiles, pull it out and splay it on the table? Yotam Ottolenghi. You know him?
No.
He wrote that cookbook Plenty and More. Yeah, that guy. And I always just look for the OTTO at the beginning of his last name because, the others, it's just a lot of letters that I've never seen in that order before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, Israeli food. And so the things, you know, I just can't keep the names in my head. Like one of them, it kind of looks like chimichurri, but it's not. But that's what it is in my head now, and I couldn't say that on the radio, so that's why I have a piece of paper.
All right.
What you been cooking?
Well, I'm cooking for a bunch of events. So
oh, really?
Yesterday I made a gazillion little mini muffin size apple cakes.
Num.
But it is a good thing this time of year. Apples are great right now.
Yeah.
Wowie.
Just yesterday, I got done with putting up all my applesauce for the year, and that's quite a task, you know. I maybe drove around with the window open to celebrate. I'm glad that's over.
Well, what kind of quantity are we talking?
I don't even know.
Well, you picked like umpteen pounds.
Yeah.
I don't even know how
many pounds. Yeah, I didn't really weigh them. I think it's more like gallons, maybe 50, maybe 80. A lot of apples, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but now it's done.
Yeah. So I just boil them up. I leave the skins on, and then Dale runs them through a food mill.
Uh-huh.
And so then because the skins are still on and they're really red apples, Liberties to start with, it turns out pretty pink. It's a lovely applesauce.
It is so pretty.
Yeah.
And delicious.
Yeah.
But so unexpectedly pretty.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So you made some apple cakes.
I made apple cakes, and now I'm getting ready today to make some cranberry chutney.
Oh, yeah?
And I was cruising through all of my, we talk periodically about Eat Your Books.
Yeah.
Which is the free database to be able to kind of catalog your personal cookbook library and then find the recipes you're looking for without having to either look through 150 books or use the same two cookbooks forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. Anyway, I found an interesting recipe and I think I'm going to try it because it sounds really good. And it is cranberries and dark cherries.
Num.
And you can use both frozen.
Okay.
And then it's got a little, and many of the same ingredients you would expect to find in chutney, but it's got a little, quite a lot of black pepper.
Huh.
And a shot of bourbon in there.
Okay.
A little bit of apple juice.
Num.
It just sounds really good and savory. I want it to go on a cheese platter. So
okay.
I think that having a little spiciness to it, I'm going to try it.
A lot of times when things like that, when they're fruit and they have black pepper, it's not a thing that I love so much. A lot of people do. But I substitute cardamom. I think it's pretty close.
Oh.
And then for me, I just like it better.
Yeah?
That's what I do.
Okay. That's an interesting thing.
With my window down.
I'm making a double batch, so maybe I'll do one of each.
Well, that's so funny that you said cherries, because one of the things I made out of Ottolenghi's cookbook Jerusalem is a salad. Now, Kate Merrill brought that salad over to my house recently, and it was good. So it's a spinach salad, and there's just two things that you do. You take dates, and then red onion, and then just pickle them really quickly with just a little bit of white wine vinegar and some salt. And
that's just what, the onions?
The onions and the dates.
Oh, okay,
yeah, you
cool.
put them both in a jar with some for just like 20 minutes. And then the other thing is you just take some elderly pita bread, a couple pieces, and dice it up with some almonds. And then you kind of fry that in a pan with some butter and olive oil is the word that I forgot on a cooking show. And then when they're done, you just hit it with some sumac, and then both of those goes into the salad. And then the dressing is just lemon juice, salt and pepper, and olive oil. And it's really good. But I went to the store, and the only dates, medjool dates, I could find was a pound package, and it had a two-digit price. And so I was standing there in the store. This is just like so pathetic. I am not going to pay a two-digit price for a partial garnish on a salad that I'm going to make aside everything else. And then I just, I like kind of looked at myself and I'm like, I am so old. Oh my gosh. I'm just so old. But anyway, no, I didn't buy the dates. And so I substituted dried cherries that I had at home, and it was good. That was a good substitution.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was really good.
I think different kind of sweetness, but equal intensity of
sweetness. Yeah. And so it was fine with a little bit of vinegar on it.
So that is so funny about the dates.
It's so sad. And it's recent.
We all have our reasons for that. But you know what? I have some dates in the fridge that are perfectly fine. They're in an airtight container, but I don't even, they would qualify as an archaeological discovery, because when you have to buy dates that are not bulk, you end up with dates.
Yeah. And it said specifically the medjool ones, and I just didn't want to make a mistake, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and then the same thing. So I made this fish recipe, and that's the one that sounds like chimichurri. But I wrote it down. Maybe Crimea? I don't know. Chraimeh. How do you say that? I don't know. I just learned how to say Otolenghi. Anyway, anyway, that's a salmon recipe. Oh, but I had a coupon for rockfish. And so I'm clutching it like I'm 95.
That was such a Minnesota sentence. Okay.
Oh, but isn't that funny? And so the dates and the fish, both things, like I just... I've gone over some barrier, some hump, and now it's all downhill from here.
Deliciously downhill, though. So how was the fish thing?
It was really, really good. Okay, so Kate Merrill brought that salad to my house, and it was delicious. And she said, it's from this book. Of course I had the book. I have all books.
I know you do.
So then she said, you know what else is good? Flip, 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 this fish recipe. And so I thought, okay, I'll try it while it's fresh in my brain. And it was really, really good. It was very flavorful. And it was supposed to be pretty dang spicy, but I left out a quantity of cayenne and a quantity of peppers and just put a little in, and it was good. And so it's a, you make this, I mean, it's a mess, not a mess, but I mean, it's a giant mess of this spice paste that has garlic, fresh garlic, and caraway seeds that you toast and grind. And that tastes really, really good. Paprika, cumin, cayenne. And then I used jalapeno peppers. It wanted a green chili, but I just didn't want to hurt my husband. So,
yeah.
So you take some rockfish and you just dredge it in a little flour, salt, and pepper, fry it just so it's browned. And then you put some oil in a pan. You put that spice paste in there, that's hard to say, and then you mix it around, and then you put in lemon juice, a little bit of sugar, some water, and then the fish, and let it cook for like 10 minutes, and it was really good, really, really flavorful. I just served it over rice, but it was really good. And it called for sunflower oil. Well, I'm not going to pay for sunflower oil when I perfectly get olive oil, she said for the third time in one day. And so one thing it did do is separate, you know, the oil. The oil turned real red and spicy, and it was good. But I think I remember somebody at the co-op telling me that they use sunflower oil in their salad dressings, because when you mix it up, stuff stays emulsified in it that wouldn't stay in other oil. I really think I remember that. And I didn't have time to look it up on the internet before I left the house, because kind of forgot about the show and drove real fast.
You got here in time. That begs the question, what do you use for, what's your favorite vegetable oil if you're not using olive oil? Or do you just pretty much use olive
pretty
oil?
Pretty much olive oil, or then I've always got, you know, just plain old vegetable oil or canola oil for cooking, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so if I'm just doing something I don't care, I'll put that in the pan.
Uh-huh. Sometimes I don't want things to taste like olive oil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially more breakfasty things. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to. And so I've been using grapeseed oil just because it has a really high smoke point.
Yeah.
And it doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah.
So so it qualifies for me as the other oil. But I've been using it a lot lately. We have this in common. Here is the weird economy move is that I have some really, really good olive oil and I don't want to spend it on cooking.
Yeah.
You know, if you
is that Andy's oil?
Yes.
He says not to cook with it. It's too dang good.
No, it's a finishing oil. And I use it for salad dressings and for brushing on crostini after it comes out of the toaster or whatever. But I'm not going to cook with it. So, and I think that for most cooking, if you want olive oil, you don't actually even need extra virgin.
Mm-hmm. Just regular olive oil.
Yeah,
it's cheaper.
Sometimes they call it pomace. Right. You know, it makes us sound like we are so wise with our money, but no. Hey, I got mail.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got this wonderful mail in my mailbox this morning.
What is it? What is it?
It is from Barbara Hansel, who is a really, really good friend of Coast Community Radio and someone I like inordinately much. And we had been talking last time I saw her here about this New York Times, the Essential New York Times Cookbook. Do you have it? Of course you have
it. I do. It's big.
Well, we were talking about, I don't know what, booze in food and pies and all kinds of stuff. And she sent me this copy out of that book because I do not have this one. I have a New York Times cookbook, but not this, the Bible of New York Times cookbooks. Anyway, the article was inspired by the fact that in 1970, the New York Times published a recipe for Brandy Alexander pie, these kind of pies just make my throat close up. I'm just like, oh.
I remember my parents drinking Brandy Alexanders
and
grasshoppers, pink Cadillacs or flamingos or whatever they were called.
Pink
something.
Elephants.
Yeah.
Anyway, they and my mom was famous for her grasshopper pie. Oh, gag.
Yeah. Oreo crust.
Whatever, though. I mean, there ain't no accountant, right? And this was, it says in this article, later that year, Craig Claiborne, the food editor, declared it one of the paper's three most requested dessert recipes.
Really?
The other two being cheesecake and pot de creme.
Huh.
Yeah, interesting. So anyway, it was wildly famous, wildly loved by everybody. And this gentleman named Dick Tauber, I don't even know how to say his name. Anyway, he was a Maryland statistician, and he discovered a formula whereby you could use this recipe to make any kind of cordial pie.
Oh, really?
So, and there's actually a chart for this, but you...
chart.
Yes, it's so weird. And they all have a graham cracker crust or chocolate wafer crust or ginger snap crust or some kind of cookie crust. Mm-hmm. And they all have gelatin and they all have sugar and salt and eggs. And then they have booze and heavy cream.
Okay.
A lot of them have food coloring.
Oh, yeah, to make them super, super appealing.
Yeah, yeah. So he has a Brandy Alexander pies, chocolate mint, grasshoppers, eggnog, banana mint.
Huh.
I just feel queasy saying that.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Oh, no, that sounds very, very, very bad. Pink squirrel.
Oh, that's what it was, pink. The pink squirrel.
Yeah, that's creme d'almond and white creme de coco. Brown velvet.
Boy, my parents were sophisticated.
They were so. Golden Dream, ever heard of it?
Doesn't sound good.
Galliano and Cointreau.
Oh my gosh, the Galliano.
Midnight Cowboy.
Another blast from my childhood.
yeah,
Midnight
I know. Cowboy. The bottle that won't fit anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Cowboy is chocolate mint and brandy. Italian mousse, Fifth Avenue, Raspberry Alexander, Blackberry Alexander, banana chocolate cream, George Washington.
Huh.
You know, it's chocolate mint and cherry brandy.
Oh, I chopped the cherry tree down.
A Shady Lady, a Sherry Suisse, Vandermint, and Sabra. There's a zillion ways to
Isn't
make
that funny?
Really obnoxious booze pie. So, yes. I want to take a second to remind everyone that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, and streaming at coastradio.org. And Linda.
Me.
Joanne Rideout just brought in a Lost Dogs Today. So
no.
Let's take a minute and read this quickly. Okay. Two dogs lost this morning in Astoria near 11th and Franklin. A Boston Terrier, black and white, and a pug, fawn and black. That would be Penny and Rosie.
Oh, I bet they're heading downtown for a cocktail. That's what my dogs do when they get away.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we want to find them, whatever they left, whatever they left. Give a look around, would you? Especially in the 11th and Franklin neighborhood, but all over the place. If you see a Boston Terrier and a pug together or separately looking lost, please call us here at Coast Community Radio, 503-325-0010, and we will put you in touch with a very distraught owner.
I hope they find them.
I
they
do
will.
Too.
They will.
We have a pretty good record here because our listeners will actually go out and look around.
Yeah. So you had all those pies there. I have been seeing interesting recipes recently. Two of them, but that's a lot when I've never seen this thing before, where you have condensed milk and lime juice, and that is what thickens whatever you're making. So first I saw a recipe for some mango cream, and it was in that new Genius Desserts recipe book from Food 52. And the recipe was something like a can of sweetened condensed milk, a can of evaporated milk, a bunch of lime juice, and some sugar. And then you blend it in a blender for like 3 minutes and then put it in the refrigerator, and it ends up kind of looking like frozen yogurt.
Huh.
So then you put, and I thought, well, that is weird, but it's in a book by people I respect, right? And then you flip the page, and the next one is a 10-minute lime pie. And so you have a cracker crust, and then it's lime juice and I think sweetened condensed milk. And just whip them together, and there's something about that lime juice and sweetened condensed milk combination that thickens stuff.
Interesting. Well, sweetened condensed milk, you know, you can throw the can in a pot of water and simmer it, and you get dulce de leche.
How long does it take?
Well, it's a simmer. I'm guessing about, it's been a long time since I did this, and you know you want to be careful because if you do it too high, it can explode.
Yeah, and I've seen like recipes and they say do it for 5 hours, and I'm like, what is my power bill for that?
Yeah, right. Can I just go buy some dulce de leche?
I know. So that's what I do.
No, it's not nearly that long. I've done it before, and I can't really remember, but there has to be a lot of technique out there available to all of us for doing that.
And I have so many questions. That's why I haven't done it. One, what's my power bill? Two, how do you tell if it's done or not? You know, I mean, yeah. I just don't know. And then three, will it explode like both my grandmothers had horrible pressure cooker type things, and I'm past due. Accidents.
You're late for your tragedy. Well, I don't, and you know, that also begs the question, if you just open a can of sweetened condensed milk and simmer it in a double boiler for a long time, would it turn into a creme?
Oh, that's a good idea, because then you could tell, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think that, it isn't far from pudding to start with.
Yeah.
It's really
so thick.
Yeah. So, but that's interesting to me. Anytime you combine lime with a dairy product is interesting to me.
Yeah. And I wonder why lime is so different than other citrus.
I don't know.
But it is.
Well, it makes you want to try it. And my question about the first method that you said, is that like a topping or is that like a pudding?
No, it was called something like mango cream. And it was much thicker than a pudding because it looked like it had been, in the picture, it looked like it had been squirted out of a soft serve ice cream thing.
Oh, okay.
And so, and then I know that you have to chill it at least 4 hours. So that's what it looked like is frozen yogurt. I know it's not because it's just refrigerated, but that's what it looked like.
Okay. Interesting. So you eat it like a dessert.
Yeah. And you put fruit on it. That's what they said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Berries.
Oh, no, I want some.
I got those. I know, it just sounded really good.
I totally want some. Every time I open the big chest freezer to get something that's stashed in there, I see all of these bags of Oregon strawberries that froze whole.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything with, because I'm waiting until I'm just like, until it's the depth of winter.
Yeah. I have a lot of them. And so I freeze them in quart bags, which is about, one of those pints of berries. And I use them all the time. I just really, really like having them. And even if I'm making something giant that's strawberry, I'll use some commercial strawberries. But just that little bag of Hoods makes it so much better.
Oh, my gosh. So much better.
Yeah. We're bragging about our freezer stock. Neener, neener, ha,
ha. I shouldn't brag about anything in my freezer. It needs to be defrosted big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So theoretically, it's more efficient if it's full.
Yeah.
But really, it's just harder to
defrost. Mine are very efficient. Did you make some meatballs?
I have to make some meatballs.
Oh, you're going to make meatballs.
Yes, and so I've been looking about, because I don't want to make meatballs and marinara. I love meatballs and marinara, but really, and they're going to be an appetizer-y kind of thing that I would
like
to do.
That's hard to eat as an appetizer if it's got that sauce, because that sauce is sloppy.
Yeah, and you don't want to spill it on anything. Yeah. So, so I've been looking for options. I've been cruising... eat your books this morning. Anyway, I found a recipe that I think I'm going to try.
Okay.
It is a combination of pork, lamb, and beef.
Okay.
And I may or may not, I might do pork, turkey, and beef. I don't know. It's three different kinds of ground meat. So, just to give it the maximum amount of flavor.
You know, if you're doing it for an event, there's a lot of people that don't like lamb.
Yeah, and lamb is probably the most expensive thing
on there.
Yeah,
there you go, yeah.
Here we go talking about money, but seriously, I might use turkey. I also like the texture of ground turkey in a meatloaf or a meatball or whatever. And it's also got frozen spinach in it and Parmesan. And the interesting thing that I thought about this was that it calls specifically for dry basil.
Huh.
Which I would never buy because I don't think it has any flavor.
No, there's like things like celery leaves and basil and parsley that just don't have flavor when they're dry.
No, it calls for both dry basil and dry parsley, which I'm not going to do.
No, just too fresh.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. And then garlic and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
But I think I'm just going to do that. And then maybe a little dipping sauce on the side. I think I'm going to skewer them.
Okay.
So that they're on short skewers, just so that they're easy to pick up off a tray.
Okay.
Either that or I'm going to toss them in a slow cooker and just keep them warm. They need to be warm.
Oh, that would be so much easier because then you could just put the picks beside them and that's a lot less work for you.
Yeah. I think that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
But I wonder what kind of sauce you would, if you didn't want to do marinara, what would you do to dip a meatball in, because I didn't want to do Swedish meatballs either, just because they are also messy if you don't have a
Everything is messy because people do barbecue sauce.
Yeah, no, I don't want a barbecue sauce.
Could you do some kind of just a glaze on them,
yeah, like, maybe I could do that.
That's hard to do in a slow cooker, but see,
well, I think I'm gonna I'm going to bake them in the oven.
Okay.
So I could baste them.
Yeah.
And then just take them to the event in a slow cooker because they need to stay warm.
Like how you would do a teriyaki where you just kind of roll it around in a pan with the teriyaki, and then just get it hot so that it seizes up, or not seizes up, but just gets less drippy. So I had some meatballs once that I just loved, and they were called habanero Asian meatballs. And they weren't super spicy, so I think that they had like molecule amounts of habaneros in them.
Uh-huh.
But lots of ginger, lots of garlic. They're Asian, and they were delicious. And then what they did is it was like rolled around in some kind of a teriyaki type sauce, and those were really, really good.
That sounds really good. And I have some habanero jelly that I might just simmer with a little soy sauce and ginger and make and call it good.
That would be really good.
Yeah,
I don't know if it would be good with the basil. Yeah, it would. Yeah,
I think it'd be okay.
Yep, I'm
wrong. But the other thing is.
No, I am. I'm wrong.
No, I think that I don't need the basil. I could just do parsley. I mean, it just needs a little
something.
No, but
something basil
in there.
Is good with that.
Yeah.
With it can, that would be good.
Yeah. Maybe some Thai basil instead. I don't know. Anyway, I have to do meatballs.
How many are you going to make?
Oh,
a billion?
Maybe just a half a billion.
Okay.
I'm going to just make a crock pot where I have, you know, the
keeping
big,
it reasonable.
The big oval thing. And
yeah.
It's not the only thing to eat, but it is at an event where there needs to be some hot food. And
okay.
That seems to be without at an event where you're not going to have flatware.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no forks, no spoons, no nothing. Then you need.
You don't deserve silverware.
I draw the line.
Put that sign up.
I'm drawing the line right there. I will cook for you, but I'm not going to wash the forks. Oh my
Good
gosh.
Lord.
Do you have, you? I know that you have at least one big event coming up in about
a
week.
Yeah, big sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tired.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Oh.
I don't blame you.
And I'm not looking forward to the bread. I'm just not. Ugh.
Oh,
50
yeah.
loaves of bread.
That's crazy.
I know.
Well, the other thing is, well, I don't even know if this is appropriate, but it would be, you know, totally.
Are you going to swear?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to swear. Till later. But I am going to defend our right to defend ourselves. And when we are doing massive amounts of things mm-hmm. for charity events, mm-hmm. we do that because we love the organization
yes.
that we are supporting, but we do not deserve to be abused. So
yeah.
if that is too many loaves of bread, seriously,
yeah.
And you know that the odds of that many loaves of bread getting sold
are not that great.
Make the executive decision. It isn't something that should be punishing
or
wasteful.
Yeah.
Both of those things are unacceptable.
Yes.
So I think we have to be careful about that. And having said that, the disclaimer is that you and I are never careful about any of this. So
what's that? It's a truck full of cookies. What you got?
Oh my gosh. I am going to be making the truck full of cookies. So I'll meet you in the driveway with our trucks full of stuff. Anyway, yes, I think that we're both tired.
Yeah.
We need to come up with plan B. Anyway, and also
plan B is the word no.
Yeah, that's the word. And also, you know what? I completely love, and I find myself with not enough time to do it, is I love cooking at home for mm-hmm. my husband.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And if I weren't so busy doing stuff for other people, I would choose to do a whole lot more of that.
Yeah. I've felt lately like my life is getting a little one-dimensional, that I'm just not making anything new. That's why it was fun to make that fish, you know?
Yeah.
It was fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a meatball. Oh, my gosh. Linda.
What?
Joanne just came in and said, dogs found.
Oh, yay.
The dogs have been found. Thank you. Thank you. If the dogs were found because one of you fabulous listeners were able to discover them, thank you so much. However they were found, we're very happy about
that.
Yeah,
that's the best news. I'm glad that they were found so quickly.
There's nothing. That's not true. It's not that there's nothing more distressing.
But it's
that is
very distressing.
Yes.
Because they're little. Your dogs are little. My dogs are little. And they just look like little Twinkies to a coyote. You know, tasty.
Oh, yeah. Smacking. Yeah. Or to a driver who doesn't even see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all scary. So that's a happy ending that Penny and Rosie are back home
Aww.
Safe. Yay.
Those are such good names.
I know, Penny.
I always pick stupid names. Swiffer. That's what he looks like.
Oh, I always feel vaguely when you adopt shelter animals, they mm-hmm. come with names often.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't find out until recently that the names they come with are often just assigned to them by, if they were strays, by shelter people.
Okay.
And so those animals are not like
emotionally
attached,
yeah,
and
yeah.
we could have done anything. But I didn't find that out until much later. I always feel vaguely bad about naming a pet a person's name.
Yeah.
It's not.
I had a friend that had all kinds of pets, and they were all named Dave. Bird, cat, dog, everybody was named Dave. I thought that was so funny.
And efficient.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we've talked about this before. Do you cook for your animals?
Yes, but not all the time. But especially if they're sick, you know, a little bit of rice and some chicken stock and maybe some pieces of chicken is pretty much my go-to dog thing. But I really don't think that dog food, no matter what you buy, can have everything in it that a dog needs. And my dogs really like vegetables. They always have. And so I always give them vegetables that might not be cooking. But if you give them a carrot, they look at you like, huh, this must be a mistake. And then they run outside quick before you can grab it back. And then green beans, if you give them green beans, then they don't eat grass outside. Uh-huh. Whatever it is they're eating grass for, the green beans are good for too. So, yeah. How about you? You cook for your little guys?
We just have one now. And she gets chicken stock on her food. And also, she loves apples.
Really? My dogs will not touch apples.
She loves apples. She loves anything that she saw go into your mouth.
Okay.
She's not a discriminating eater. But I think that they need more than a scoop of some dry kibbly thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm even really concerned about the dry kibbly thing I give them because I think that, you know, so many older animals, if you adopt older shelter animals, the odds of them having some heinous disease like cancer or something very mm-hmm. high, very, yeah. very high. Yeah. And I can't imagine that all of that, that doesn't come from a lifetime of poor nutrition, at least partially.
Yep.
So, and maybe true of all of us. And so, this will not be the program where I talk about how much I love butter and cream. I'll save that for later. Seriously, we're going into butter and cream season.
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh, I have to make, I don't have to, I get to make pies for a big community Thanksgiving celebration. And I'm like, oh, what should I make? I mean, certainly at least one of them has to have some pumpkin-y thing in it, but I'm just
there's so
like,
many things. You know what? That woman over on the peninsula, I think her name is Marnie or something like that. She makes a bunch of pies, but she makes this blackberry cranberry pie.
Ooh.
That is so good. It's delicious. So she cooks the cranberries first, and then because they won't cook enough in a pie, and then adds that to fresh blackberries and then puts that, or frozen, and puts it in a pie, and it is delicious.
Ooh. I might have to look into that. I know somebody with several freezers full of blackberries. It is 10 o'clock. We have to be quiet.
Aww.
Linda Perkins, it's so nice to visit with you and talk about food.
So nice to see you.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Stay tuned for NPR News headlines, followed by John Stevenson and Lost Highways.